thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Psychic, where we delve into ancient societies, ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm alive. I'm here.
It's nice to know.
Yes. So, how was your holiday yesterday?
It was okay.
I'm
sorry, ladies and gentlemen. It just kind of, I feel a little bit on the bit of the blast. Please forgive me, you know. Just need some positive vibes, some grooves, some, you know, prayers, that sort of thing, if you can help it. So,
I got a joke that might cheer you up.
42.
No.
Oh, okay.
Why does the Easter Bunny hide Easter eggs?
I have no idea.
He doesn't want anybody to know he's been sleeping with the chicken.
That's sad.
It's cute.
No, it's not.
Why?
It's mean.
It's not mean.
Yeah, I think it's mean.
Anyway, yeah, we usually get together with my in-laws and celebrate the holiday together, but my mother-in-law had a migraine. My sister-in-law just had treatment done, so they weren't feeling very well. Mm-hmm. So we just went and had dinner and came home. But today we wanted to talk about the different holidays, because Easter isn't the only holiday that's celebrated in the spring. So we wanted to shed light on some of the other traditions and, you know, festivities and different cultures, as well as, you know, historically some things that were celebrated in the past to celebrate the spring. So if you're watching on YouTube, we ask that you like and subscribe and hit notifications so you know when we post a new podcast. If you're watching on Twitch, also ask that you like and subscribe. If you are listening on a replay through any of our podcast venues out there, please rate and review us if you can. And what kind of ratings do we like?
Mm-hmm. We like a 5 stars. That's a 1, a 2, a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes, we do like 5 stars, but we'll take whatever you can give us. And please leave a review, as we do read reviews on air.
Okay, we do. And we also read anything you actually send us. So.
Yes. You want to share a story, you can definitely send us a story and we'll read it on air.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're out there, go ahead and say hi in the comments and let us know who's joining us tonight as we kick this off.
Yes. Hi, everybody who's just kicking this off.
Would you like to start us off?
Oh, I would love to. Alrighty, so let's start us off on the wonderful Easter. It's not only the holiday tradition celebrated at this time of the year, which we've already discussed in the beginning. There are many traditions that take place in the spring, honoring the season and the change in the weather. Today, we'll take a look at some of the spring celebrations and traditions around the world, as well as some historical celebrations. So sit back, smell the roses, dandelions, daisies, blue bonnets, tulips, hydifernans, orchids, and just any other flowers that you may like, and bask in the sun with the rebirth and renewal of Earth with its flora and fauna.
Yes. First off,
let's take a look at the pagan celebration of Imbolc. Prosperity was in ancient times depend on several factors, including successful harvest for the year. This was important to the population, as it was therefore a bad crop season. It would be hard on all. On February 1st, the Celts in Ireland and Britain celebrated Imbolc. This was a two-day event which celebrated the bark between winter solstice and the spring equinox, which I'm not sure if they celebrated the bark or the spark. That is a very interesting thing, you know. We're celebrating the bark between winter solstice.
I think they mean like the transition between the two.
Possibly, that may be. But this does represent the arrival of spring and honoring the god Brigid, who was associated with fertility and birth, among other things. Mm-hmm. They would celebrate by lighting bonfires, feasting, and other ways of merriment. They believed by celebrating Brigid, she would bless their crops and the season for the coming month.
Yes.
Go, Brigid.
Yes. And I guess we could say that Brigid wasn't frigid?
Possibly.
I mean, she was the goddess of fertility and birth, so that mm-hmm. doesn't seem pretty frigid to me.
Yep.
Next, we talk about Lupercalia. And historians think the Romans started Valentine's Day with this pagan festival. This occurred every year on February 15th and was held to honor the gods Faunus and Luperus. Lupercus. Ugh, tongue. Words hard.
Yep.
These were the gods of fertility, and they also honored Romulus and Remus, that were the supposed founders of Rome. The festival celebrated health, fertility, healing, and protection against illness, bad crops, and war. They would celebrate with sex and sacrifices. Some of the other things that they did were not very nice, but we won't discuss those because they're kind of cruel. Then there was Anthesteria, which was held in honor of Dionysus, which was the god of wine, celebration, and again, fertility. Now, Dionysus, he was a feisty fellow, wasn't he?
No, he was kind of laid back, drunk all the time.
Well, I mean, he was...
He was the goddess of the grape, as well as the...
But he liked to have a lot of fun. He was a little risque, so to speak.
Well, he might have been risque, but then, of course, you know, he was also the god of intoxication. So,
oh, there you go. Wasn't it something about his chalice that it never emptied or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, his holiday was celebrated in Athens for the start of spring, and it lasted 3 days. It started late in February and run into the beginning of March by our calendar. During this time, they would drink wine. And this was, you know, that had been harvested and created the year before. They would also party every day, including having a drinking contest. And this contest was welcome to all, whether you be master, slave, adult, or child. So you'd have your five-year-olds out drinking you under the table, you know, by the time you're passed out there, you know, on their 50th beer or whatever. So it was a joyous time. Also, as in many pagan celebrations, the veil would be thin during this time, and ghosts could join in on the fun walking the earth again. To protect themselves from the evil spirits, they would also make offerings to the dead. So yeah, that's just a little bit about that holiday as well. And, you know, the way they got a little ruckus with Dionysus.
Dionysus. Yep. Next. Let's talk about Florida. Florilia was started around 250 BC and was one of the most famous and important of the Roman calendar. It started at the end of April and it lasted 5 to 6 days in honor of Flora, who was the goddess of flowers, fertility, and spring. Celebrations would include bright colors, picking flowers, and dancing. Whoop, whoop. They would hold public games. It was seen as a way to say goodbye to winter and hard times and say hello to spring. Esto, or Strada, in German paganism, was the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring, dawn, and rebirth. Celebrations during the spring equinox was in honor of her. It is thought that the word Easter comes from this goddess, and festivities would occur during April with the hopes of a good summer, with winter finally over. The Anglo-Saxons celebrated the warmer days of spring with the anticipation of the months to come. Some believe that the Easter Bunny came from her association with rabbits and hares. They would also offer hot cross buns as gifts, as the four corners represented the four seasons and the phases of the moon. Phases of the moon. Modern-day Wiccans or pagans might go outside to meditate and perform a simple ritual to welcome the spring. Another common way to celebrate the coming spring is to plant seeds. Some families incorporate the seasonal candy, such as peeps and chocolate rabbits, with their kids to help them get into the spirit of the event. Have you ever had a peep?
They're nasty.
Yes. I'm sorry, everybody. Peeps are nasty.
Definitely not my favorite.
No.
But... yeah, it's interesting because the rabbit, you know, again, it's supposed to represent the fertility because, you know, how they say, like, you know, mating like rabbits, they do like to mate a lot and have a lot of babies. So That's the reason we have our chocolate rabbits on the Easter and spring holidays.
Right.
But now we move on to Beltane, which was a Gaelic tradition that was celebrated at the halfway mark between spring and summer. Ancient pagans lit bonfires and drove their cattle between them, hoping to secure protection for them from the gods before leading them to pasture for the summer. Now, when we say leading them to pasture, we don't mean like, you know how they say when an animal's going to pass, they take it out to pasture. Mm-hmm. What we mean is actually taking them to the pasture so that they can, you know, feed the, you know, on the grain and get ready. So that way, you know, they could have them for whether it be meat or milk or whatever is needed. We're not putting them out to pasture, so to speak.
Well, they go out to a special farm.
No, we're not sending to special farms.
We'll never see them again. They're at a special farm.
That's not true. They would also dance around the bonfires and held feasts for the gods in hopes of healing and prosperity. Now, one of my favorites, moving away from, you know, ancient Greece and pagan and all of that, is a holiday that's still very much holiday that's still very active today. And this is Holi, which is a Hindu holiday. And Holi celebrates the arrival of spring, love, and fertility again. It is also known as the Festival of Colors. To me, this one always seems so much fun because what people do is they run around and throw powdered dye at each other. Now, Holi comes from the legend of the god Krishna and his wife Radha. See, Krishna fell in love with Radha, but was worried that his blue skin would be a problem. So his mother told him to go to Radha and ask her to paint her face any color she chose. This made Krishna less worried about the difference in their skin color, and they fell in love. Today, some lovers still paint their faces the same color to celebrate the love on Holi. And, you know, I just think it's really nice. They still have festivals in India as well as here in the U.S. Where people celebrate this, and they'll just go out into a field, or I think in India it's like around town. And they just run by throwing this colored powder at people. And it's a lot of fun. Very bright, very festive, very happy. There's also the Jewish holiday known as Purim. This is celebrated on the 14th day of the Jewish month, Adar. The religious months in Judaism are based on the Gregorian calendar. I'm sorry, are not based on the Gregorian calendar, which we use. So the dates of their holidays vary from year to year. Now, since you're, you know, really good at the Book of Our Lord, would you kindly tell us the beginnings of this holiday that the Jewish celebrate?
Are you talking about Passover?
No, Purim.
Purim?
Yes, read on and you will remember.
You ready? It's a Purim occurred during the Persian Empire in the 4th century. The ruler at the time was Quirinius and his queen Vashti. On the day, the queen disobeyed the king, so he decided to get a new wife. He held a beauty pageant so he could find a new queen, Esther, who was a Jewish girl. She entered and was chosen as the new queen. However, Esther never revealed her heritage. At this time, an anti-Semitic man by the name of Haman was the prime minister, and the king ordered everyone to bow down to him. Mordecai was the leader of the Jews and Esther's cousin, and he refused to bow to Haman. Therefore, Haman convinced the king to kill all of the Jews on the 13th day of the month Adar. This date was chosen through the lottery, and why it's the day named after Purim, it means lots in Hebrew. When Mordecai discovered this, he sent words to Esther through the servant asking her to beg for mercy from the king of the Jewish people. Esther had not heard of the king in months, and appearing before him without a summons was a death sentence. Therefore, Esther decided to fast before going and asking all of the Jews to do the same. She fasted for 3 days and dressed in her finest attire before going to see the king. She then tells him she would like to have a feast with him and Haman.
There, she tells the king she would like to spare her life and the lives of her people. Still unaware of her heritage, the king asks who would threaten her. She answers it is Haman that threatens her. The king orders Haman's death and then makes Mordecai the prime minister. He also gives Esther the power to overturn Haman's decree, freeing the Jews. Purim is now considered one of the most joyous and fun Jewish celebrations. Jews go to their synagogue to hear the Book of Esther read. When Haman's name is mentioned, the congregation will stomp their feet and hiss. They also feast and party to celebrate the day. Now, let's look at some of the Easter celebrations around the world. In Jamaica, they crack eggs on Good Friday. These are said to predict the future. Before sunrise on Good Friday in Jamaica, there is an old tradition where you crack an egg and the egg white to a glass of water. As the sun rises, it heats the egg and makes patterns in the water. People believe these patterns could predict the way in which you will die. Which is really interesting because in the Hispanic culture, they have where they, if they think you might have ojo, they will take the egg and run it around along your body, and then they will crack it in the water and leave it on your bedpost. And supposedly the way the egg mutates or whatever, it's supposed to predict whether you have the ojo or not. So that's very interesting how, you know, it's the same objects in the same way, but you know, different right. traditions for each one.
Right.
So I find that very interesting. And that's, you know, maybe something we'll go into on a future episode about the evil eye and different things like that right. and curses. Right. Continue.
Central America. They make art with sawdust on Good Friday. These are afromoras and are made from colorful sawdust. Afromoras are constructed in community locations such as village streets or church floors. They are created from a wide range of natural materials such as dyed sawdust, wood shavings, pine straw, pine leaves, flowers, coffee, nuts, fruits, and other vegetation. Now that's kind of interesting, you know. It's what how do they clean it up afterwards? I mean, do they take pictures of it, and that way, you know,
it lasts? That is interesting. What do they do with that?
I mean, and then we go into one of my favorite weeks of all times, the last week of Passover, starting with Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode onto Jerusalem on his donkey, the people laid out palm branches in his path as a sign of respect. This is where the tradition of a palm blast originates. Today, they are created to show their gratitude towards Jesus and to seek penance for their sins.
Now,
also, did you know it is illegal to dance in Germany on Good Friday? Nein, no dance.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave our friends behind.
That's a Good Friday. Nightclubs where people would usually dance on Friday nights are forced to close or have the risk of being fined 1,000 euros. The decades-old ban was put in place so the Christians could observe Good Friday holiday, which commemorates the crucifixion of Jesus in the Christian faith in a respectful way. It is supposed to be a day of mourning from the death of Jesus on the cross, and so fearlessly activity is considered inappropriate. The ban of dancing is meant to emphasize the seriousness and the solemn nature of the holiday.
So do they dance on Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection?
I'm not sure.
I still say we can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind.
Nope. Can't do that.
Aw, man. Darn you, Germans.
Nope.
Sorry. Germans are nice people. I know a few nice Germans.
And we are have some dramatic.
Yes. Some dramatic blood.
Yes.
Now, in Sweden, children dress up as Easter witches on Easter Sunday. Children, not only in Sweden, but also in Finland, dress up and go door to door with bunches of willow twigs. They say a blessing, which is said to drive away evil spirits and return the children, are given a chocolate egg. Unlike many other countries, Easter in Sweden is a mostly secular holiday. Superstitions and witchcraft were traditionally part of the customs of the Swedish Easter and are still loosely followed today. Hundreds of years ago, people believed witches flew on their broomsticks to a place called Blakula. Not to be confused with Dracula, but this is Blakula.
Blakula.
Yes, this was on the day before Good Friday, and then they returned Easter Eve. Each region of Sweden had its own customs for protecting itself from the witch's spells, like people lighting bonfires, shooting firearms into the sky, and drawing crosses on their front door for protection. In Sweden today, both boys and girls dress up as witches, known as Pakaskaring, which is the Easter witch. They wear head scarves, long skirts, painted faces, and visit their neighbors with gifts of drawings and paintings in return for candy. And after this adventure, the children are given large eggs, known as Paskags, or Easter eggs. These eggs are filled with candy, chocolates, and made by their parents. Some parents choose to create an Easter egg hunt, sometimes designed with riddles or clues, or just simply gift them. Now, I like that idea of throwing in the riddles and clues for the Easter egg hunt. Mm-hmm. I think that would make it a lot more fun than just going out and finding eggs hidden in plain sight as we did as kids.
Right. So we're going to also talk about the wonderful world of Easter Sunday, done in the holy, thousands of people do go to St. Peter's Square to hear the Pope's blessing of the church balcony. This is known as Urbi et Orba, which means to the city and to the world in Italy. The two biggest observed dates around Easter are Easter Sunday and Easter Monday, both of which are public holidays. Shops, banks, and clothes in some restaurants do close on these days. However, since many shops, restaurants, and certainly banks are closed on Sundays anyways, it's only really on Easter Monday that you might find yourself minorly inconvenienced by closed shops. Main tourist sites such as the Colosseum, the Roman Forum, Galleria Borghese, and other archaeological sites and museums keep normal hours. In Hungary, women dress up in the traditional clothes on Easter Sunday and get splashed with water. This tradition has happened since the 2nd century in India, which means it's even older than Christianity. So basically, Hungary, I guess, is the one who created the wet t-shirt contest.
I guess you could say that.
Yeah, traditionally, women and girls decorate eggs, which they offer to men and boys who arrive on Easter Sunday, with a short and funny poem. Back in the old days, they would grab the woman and take them next to the well and toss a bucket of water on them. These days, men rather use perfumes or cologne. Like I said, wet t-shirt contest. Hungary's the one who originated it.
There you go.
Yeah, for the children of the house, the mythical Easter Bunny brings a small chocolate egg as presents. From early morning on, the dinner table is filled with mouth-watering dishes, the blessed Brita scone and the lamb meat, homemade smoked ham, hard-boiled egg, fresh horseradish, and a little bit of panikita, the famous Hungarian spirit. This opens tradition into the moment of connecting and resting and true celebration.
Now, what's interesting, going back to, you know, the Vatican and the Easter Monday and stuff.
Right.
I've heard it mentioned here. I don't know if it's just a local thing or if this is all over, but they have what's considered, you know, they have Good Friday, of course, which is the day that Christ was crucified. But then they call Monday, instead of calling it Easter Monday, they call it Bad Monday, because it's like, you know, the opposite of Good Friday. So a lot of times places will close on Monday as well, or kids will be out of school for Bad Monday as well as Good Friday. So that's just an interesting tie-in there. Mm-hmm. Now, in Bermuda, people fly homemade kites on Good Friday, leading up to the Easter weekend. Bermudians spend time crafting their traditional Bermuda kites. These delicate kites are made from wood sticks, string, and brightly covered tissue paper. Everyone is an artist when it comes to kite making, and every kite is unique. It is believed that the tradition of flying kites started when a local teacher had trouble explaining Jesus' resurrection to his Sunday school class, so he made a kite to explain the concept. Now, there's also a town in France that make a giant omelet. Omelets. Mm-hmm. The people of, how would you say this? How? H-A-U-X, that would be how, right? Because the X is silent.
How.
Okay. They make an enormous omelet on Easter Monday. They use 4,500 eggs and use it to feed up to 1,000 people. Each family breaks the eggs in their home in the morning, and then they come to the main square where the eggs are cooked for lunch. Well, that sounds like fun. I've always liked a good omelet.
Mm-hmm. In Greece, it's the word, because all the Easter eggs are red. You'll only find red eggs, not unlike the colorful eggs in many countries, including the UK, have. The red is seen as representing the blood of Christ. On Easter Sunday, the Greeks play a traditional game of cracking red dye eggs. The color red symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ, and the cracking of the shell symbolizes his breakthrough of resurrection from the dead. The dyed eggs are not supposed to be consumed until Sunday, when an Easter bread called toscuri, and a special Easter cookie, culundria, is also baked. Now we're on to the United States of America. Back in there, we got an egg roll here happening at the White House every Easter Monday at the White where the president lives. An Easter egg roll is held right there on his lawn. The tradition dates back to 1878 with Rutherford B. Hayes. He's the president back then. The first lady, who is also the president's wife, normally runs an event that always held on Easter Monday. God bless America. Now, chocolate bunnies. They were initially created in Germany in the mid-19th century. They gained mass appeal in the 1890s when American shop owner Robert Stokecker created a 5-foot-tall chocolate bunny as an Easter promotion in his drugstore. Yay, Robert Stoker. 5-foot-tall chocolate bunny. I bet it had hearing problems within an hour.
Yes. We've got Jackie. Our niece says that she never knew that about Greece. I remember seeing in my Big Fat Greek Wedding when it was Easter that they did have red eggs. That the eggs were all red, but I didn't know like that's all they use. She also says that your accent for president here in the good old USA.
God bless America. Rather than me, hey, Mr. President.
And the bunnies have hearing problems because their ears have been eaten.
Yes.
Yes. In medieval Europe, the rabbit was a popular symbol for spring because of its fertility, which we had mentioned earlier about how rabbits like to get together. We love you too, Jackie.
And God bless America. Yes. With our Easter egg roll.
Yes. As I mentioned before, rabbits are a sign of fertility because you know the story of mate like rabbits. They like to get together quite a bit.
And they're really good at multiplication.
Yes. There was a German legend said that after a long winter sleep, an Easter bunny would lay bright eggs in the grass for good children to find. One major reason chocolate bunnies are made hollow is that once a piece of chocolate is over about a half an inch thick, it becomes nearly impossible to bite into and enjoy it. Making the bunnies hollow allows the chocolatiers to make them larger for visual impact, but still enjoyable to eat. The practice of making bunnies hollow gained American popularity during World War II, during the cocoa rationing, as hollow bunnies could be produced using far less chocolate than their solid counterparts. See, I always thought that it was so they could put a treat inside. I thought that that's the reason they made the bunnies hollow. But according to this, it was, you know, to make it easier to eat and for rations.
Yes.
Interesting. Popular estimates say that about 90 million chocolate Easter bunnies are produced worldwide. And the largest bunny ever made was in 2014 for a Choco Fest. Now, that's a festival I would like to attend, being a chocoholic. I would love to go to Choco Fest. This was in Brazil, and it weighed over 8,000 pounds and was 13 feet tall. Now, that's a chocoholic's dream. That's their fantasy. So yes, I would love to try that.
These days, chocolate bunnies can be found dressed as cowboys, riding motorcycles, getting married, playing sports, and just about everything you could be at your local chocolatier can imagine. In fact, one year I had a chocolate stormtrooper.
Oh, now that's cool.
Now, the Borch Chocolate Company in Reading, Pennsylvania is credited with being the first company to introduce bunnies with personalities. with its accordion playing bunny in 1934. Now, my favorite of all time is the jelly bean. The exact origins are lost in time. Only a part of its history is known. Most experts believe that the soft center is a descendant of a Mideastern confection known as Turkish Delights that dates back to pre-biblical time. Now, we all know about Turkish Delights because the shell coating is an offspring of a process called panning, first invented in 17th century France to make Jordan almonds for the royal court. The French confectioners began rocking almonds in a pan filled with sugar and syrup until the almonds were coated and candy shelled. Today, large rotating drums do the heavy work, but it's still called panning. While machines may do most of the labor, master confectioners apply their true and art panning process when they add the ingredients to create just the right shell.
No, I agree. Jackie says that the jelly bean texture bugs her. Give me the robin eggs. I totally agree. I love the robin's eggs. Now, one that I don't see mentioned here, but is one of my favorites, is the Cadbury egg.
Bark, 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 bark.
I love the Cadbury egg with its creamy, sugary center wrapped in chocolate. Oh, to die for, but they're so rich I can only eat one a year. But I digress. Getting back to the jelly bean.
Yes. Well, different forms.
Yes. Somehow, the two processes made their ways to America. The earliest known appearance of the jelly bean is in 1861 advertisement for William Shraft of Boston that promoted the sending of jelly beans to soldiers in the Union Army during the Civil War. Now, why are they called jelly beans, you ask? Candy makers have always made candy into novelty shapes. Shaping candy into things people knew was and still is common. In 19th century England, candy mice were a favorite for children during the holidays. No, thank you. The diet of most Americans in the 1800s was dominated by beans and vegetables from their own fields. You know, like the Boston baked beans. So some clever candy maker figured out how to make bean-shaped soft jelly. And this could be the same candy maker who figured out how to put shell onto it so it wouldn't be sticky. Hence the name jelly beans. Today, jelly beans retain that distinctive shape of a bean.
They also are placed among the many glass jars of penny candy in general stores where they were sold by weight and taken home in paper bags. It wasn't until 1930s, however, that jelly beans became part of the East tradition, probably due to their egg-like appearance in nests. In 1953, Just Born acquired Rhoda Candy Company, which made the nastiest things in the world that we call peeps, but with wings. The original marshmallow chicks were more labor-intensive and required manually squeezing marshmallow paste out of pastry tubes. The original peeps had wings. The factory eventually quickened its process of making a peep from 27 hours to 6 minutes. That was due to the effort of Von Bohm, Sam's son, who made the modernized production with mechanical machinery. In 1965, it clipped the marshmallow wing chicks off the chicks to further the speed of the process. In addition to the chicks that are popular during the Easter, shapes and flavors were great seasonal themes such as Halloween peeps, Christmas peeps, and Valentine's Day peeps. Bunny peeps weren't added until the 1980s.
That was 1955, not 65. But I mean, even the whole idea of them squeezing out the marshmallow paste, just sounds disgusting.
Yes.
Yes. However, in the 1990s, watch out, world. Here come the peeps. As Peeps became more popular, the brand diversified its product. And by 1998, Peeps were available in five colors. These included yellow, white, pink, blue, and lavender. The original yellow is still the best-selling color in the United States. And I wonder if... Aren't there also other flavors or something like that that they've just recently come out with in the 2000s? Like new flavors of the Peeps?
Well, they do have the bunny Peeps. They do have the chick Peeps. While you're discussing more, I'm going to find out the new colors of Peeps.
Okay. With that, we do ask, what is your favorite holiday to celebrate spring and the changing of the seasons? Leave us a comment letting us know what your favorite traditions are. One of my favorite traditions, and it's weird because I was talking about this with some friends of mine who don't live close by and they've never even heard of this. So it makes me wonder, like, is it only a Texas thing? Is it a Hispanic tradition? Enlighten me. But what?
Cascarones.
Yes, cascarones, also known in English as confetti eggs. And these are just regular eggshells filled with confetti and covered with tissue paper that you run around and, you know, crack on each other. Some people even go as far as putting flour in it, using raw eggs, doing other things that are just disgusting. I've seen mustard, ketchup mixed in. Oh, they're disgusting. But we usually just keep it to the confetti because the other stuff is just really cruel and gross, I guess you could say.
Yep.
So we usually just use the confetti, but I'm curious to find out, is that only a local tradition, a Hispanic tradition? So if you know, let us know in the comments, again, as well as what your favorite holiday to celebrate and traditions are. And were you able to find about the Peeps?
Yes, the Peeps colors are as follows: yellow, white, pink, lavender, blue, green, and orange.
Oh, so they have added some new colors since the 90s.
Yellow and white were the original colors.
Interesting. So that pretty much wraps up our spring traditions episode for this week. Again, if you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe. And on YouTube, hit the notification so you know when we have new videos go up and when we go live. If you're listening to a replay on your favorite podcast, please rate.
Excuse me. Hate to interrupt.
Go ahead.
They have Peeps Hot Tamales.
Oh.
Can we go, ew?
Yes. That's just pretty gross.
Yeah.
Yes. And again, if they're rating us, what reviews do we like?
We like 5 stars. No Peeps Hot Tamales. None whatsoever.
Yes. 5 stars. We will take what you give us. But we do prefer 5. And next week, we will be discussing spirit boards. So make sure you join us at 8:30 p.m. Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific. Again, if you have any questions, you can share. I'm sorry. If you have any questions or stories you would like to share or ideas for our show, you can email us at info@skepticpsychic.com. Also, join us in our group on Facebook, Skeptic Psychic, where we hang out with like-minded great minds and people and share memes and ask questions. And whatever you can think of, just be nice.
Yes.
Thank you again, always, to Shelley Priest for doing an amazing job researching this and future episodes. Shelley is a little under the weather, so we're sending her good vibes and, you know, hoping that she gets well soon. And is there anything else that I forgot this week?
All depends. What exactly are we going to be doing? The spirit boards this way. And like I said, just thoughts and prayers for the both of us. And hopefully things will work out.
Yes. And as always, sweet dreams, everybody.
And unpleasant nightmares.
Good night, and we'll see you next week.